You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to On the Couch,
On the Couch
with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good morning to you, everybody. You are officially on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. I got a great show for you today, as I do every week. But we're talking about relationships as usual. But this time, we're really talking to you guys. And let me tell you what. My guest wrote a book about being the strong man a woman wants. Now, I know a lot of you ladies out there are going, is that sexist? What's up with that? What's that about? Nah. You're going to learn more about it and what he has to say in just a little bit. But first, let me turn you on to my website and who I'm about. If you'd like to find out more about Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist, you can log on to my website. It's drmichelletherapy.com. Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy.com. Or you can write me directly. This is how I get a lot of my material for my talk show. At my website, and also, there's a link to my email address, docmichelle@aol.com, docmichelle@aol.com. If you have a question about anything, problems, issues, relationships, stuff going on, go ahead and write me, and then what I'll do is I'll try to get back to you and maybe refer you to someone in your area if you'd like. And also, what I can do is ask your permission if you really want me to answer your question on the air. That way, I can help you out and maybe lots of other folks out there. All right? And today, like I said, we're talking about a great book. I'm going to be talking to the author of that. His name is Elliot Katz, and it's called Being the Strong Man a Woman Wants. So why are so many women complaining about their men not being strong? Don't you know some friends that say he's kind of a wuss? He kind of wussed out? I wish he were stronger. Why are women saying, wow, they've met the most wonderful guy, but then they couldn't marry them or they got divorced or separated because they want their guys to make more decisions. They want them to be leaders. You know, I'm kind of having issues with a lot of women who come in to see me and say, oh, he's wonderful. He's emotional and he shares his feelings. And when I say, where would you like to go to dinner? He says, I don't care. You pick. No, I don't care. You pick. He's wonderful. But they want guys to be a little bit stronger. Then they complain. Then the relationships start going sour because what attracted them originally kind of turns them off in a little while. So I'm going to be talking about that today with my guest. And what's really cool is researchers have found that generally guys use a good deal of the left hemisphere of their brains when talking and listening. You know, guys, you're different. Women have four times as many brain cells connecting the right and left sides of the brain. That means they have greater access to their right brain. No, it's not that we're smarter, although we are. It's not that we're smarter. It's just that we have the ability to multitask. We have greater access to our right brain. It's about talking and emotion. You guys know that. And men generally deal with problems as an opportunity to show their competence and strength. Guys are into assuming authority and making decisions in the most effective and direct way. It's from the old brain when they were out there hunting and killing. You know what I'm talking about? That's what they were doing. Now, I'm not talking about being controlling, guys being controlling. I'm talking about guys and how they take care of business. So we're going to find out what happened to many guys who stopped being assertive, direct, and stronger. And let's see if we have my guest on the line right now. Good morning. It's Dr. Michelle. Are you on the line with me? Let's try it again. Okay. Let's answer the call. Good morning. It's Dr. Michelle.
Dr. Michelle, it's Elliot Katz calling.
Elliot, how are you today?
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
You sound good. I was just talking about your book, of course. warming folks up to the fact that we're going to be talking about being a strong man. So, folks,
great.
My guest today is Elliot Katz, as I mentioned, and he is author of the book, It's Being the Strong Man a Woman Wants, Timeless Wisdom on Being a Man. Now, folks, I want to let you know, it's an interesting yet easy read, basically, on how to be a better guy. You know what I'm saying, folks? So, yeah, Elliot, I loved reading your book. It was really fun. Really fun.
Thank you very much.
And I say fun because I love the way you presented it. You know, it's kind of like a conversation between a man and his grandfather, right?
Exactly. Right, right. And the reason for that is it's almost like this wisdom about being a man has missed a generation. So that's why it's the grandfather who's learned this, teaching it to his grandson.
Yeah.
I think this generation of men, a lot of men have missed learning these things. A lot of boys grew up with divorced families. They're without strong male role models, or their fathers worked long hours. So really, a lot of boys in this generation grew up without strong male role models. And
yeah.
That's why, in a sense, it's like it's missed a generation. So it's his grandfather teaching the wisdom that for generations, fathers and other older men used to teach younger men about being a man.
That's a great idea. And the whole thing is really a dialogue. The book is between the grandfather and the grandson, which is so cool. And what led you to write this book, Elliot? I'm kind of thinking, you know, maybe you had some things going on with you, because that's why we usually write books, because it stirs personal things within
us. Exactly. It helps us. It helps us learn. It helps us make it part of ourselves. Well, I was married for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and then I got divorced.
Yeah.
And like a lot of people, at first I blamed the other person, that it was all their fault.
Yeah.
Then I came to the point of thinking, well, what do I have to learn from this? I don't want to go through this again. So I started on this journey to learn what is a man's role in a relationship and a marriage. And I started reading books on marriage and relationships. I read a mountain of books.
Yeah.
And they really didn't say anything to me about what it means to be a man.
Hmm.
And then I started going to the teachings that fathers and other older men used to teach younger men about
right.
being a man. And interestingly, it amazed me that the lessons they talked about coincided with what I heard women complain is lacking in men today, that they don't show leadership, they don't make decisions, and they don't take responsibility.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Because I remember, I mean, the feminist movement was really happening, and, you know, women were more assertive and really talking to guys about how they should back down a little bit and hear them and understand their emotions and become a little more feminine in their approach to communication and feelings, right? So that kind of
exactly.
Took over.
Men today have become so weary of being accused of being controlling and domineering that they've gone the other extreme. And they don't make any decisions, and they don't show any leadership.
Right.
And it's very frustrating for women. I hear of like so many cases where divorce happens, and the woman's just frustrated that they feel like, you know, he just doesn't do anything, and he leaves it to her to make all the decisions. He you know, there's a problem, you know, with the children. Like, oh, he says, well, she knows more about raising children,
mm-hmm.
and I'm showing I'm, you know, a nice, sensitive guy who's non-controlling, non-domineering,
right?
And he can't understand why his wife is so frustrated with him.
Right, exactly. So it's nobody's fault per se. It's just kind of the way things have evolved in terms of our communication and what we expect of each other, right?
I think it's, you know, fault is a negative word that really doesn't help any situation.
Yeah.
I think it's about learning. And I know my experience now with the book out, I hear from so many men and so many women, it's about learning. You know, a lot of men just didn't learn this, so they really have to learn what their role is. In previous generations, fathers taught their sons how to be men.
Right,
and
exactly.
Just, you know, with so many absent fathers and with so much influence in other areas like the media, we really, this generation of men really didn't have strong male role models. And the other message is about being sensitive,
mm-hmm.
developing your feminine side. It's like, you know, it's just not working. And so many men are confused. Like, I remember giving a talk once, and I asked the men in the audience, it was a mixed audience, and I said, what do fathers as men bring to raising children
mm-hmm.
that a mother as a woman can't? I mean,
right.
mothers give plenty to children that men can't,
right.
but what does a man give to children that a woman can't? And they all looked at me, one fellow says, well, I was wondering the same question.
That's interesting. Exactly. They're kind of looking for guidance, like what to do. And I always tell couples who come to see me that it's really important before you even have kids to be on the same page about how you're going to set really good role models and how you're, what values and morals and beliefs and what you're going to teach them in terms of their roles as either men or women in society. And you're right, Elliot. We do get different messages from mom and dad. You know, personally, exactly. I don't talk about my personal life a lot, but I mean, personally, I have a son, and I tell him about respecting women. I'm very open. He can talk to me, of course. Usually, kids of psychologists feel pretty open to talk, or not, to their parents, but I mean, he can talk to me. He can also talk to my husband, who's very open and willing to listen to what he has to say and his feelings. But there are certain things that I say, honey, you talk to him about being a man.
Right.
You talk to him about relating to other people. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, you know, like you could talk to your son, but your husband can show him what it means to be a man. You know, you could talk to him about how you know a young man should treat a young woman, but your husband can show him how a man treats a woman, how a man treats his wife, how a man relates to other men. That's what a man gives to a child that a woman can't. He can he shows his children what it means to be a man.
Right.
A mother could talk about it, but a man demonstrates it.
Right, exactly. I agree with you. So so women, you know, like I said, in the old kind of feminist movement and everything, it was great and wonderful and helped women out so much and really changed the world, basically. Well, many parts of the world who were open to that. And men kind of loosened up a little and got okay about that. And then when guys did become a little more sensitive and a little more passive and all that, then women kind of wanted a man who was stronger in character. There's kind of mixed messages, but why do you think that a woman wants a man who's stronger in character and can make decisions?
Well, what women have told me is that a man who's strong, they want to feel protected by a man. They want to feel that they can trust their life to a man. They want to feel that, you know, if they marry this person, that there's a crisis, a difficult situation, and as there are in families and life, that he's going to be able to take charge, step forward, and deal with it, and not just look to his wife and say, "What should we do?"
Right.
It's I mean, you know, and then, you know, even in dating situations, you have where, you know, if a man doesn't show any initiative and showing leadership, and like, you know, ask if you ask a woman on a date and ask her what she wants to do and wants her to decide, it says to her, "Well, this, what if, you know, this, these are easy things. What a difficult situation. He's just going to be on the sidelines and ask me what to do." It's just very frustrating to women for that. And I wrote it for myself and my circle of friends, but it's been popular all over the world. That just shows that this is a common thing that has happened to this generation.
I think it really is a common thing that's happened to this specific generation, and I think you're right, you know, about the generations before us. I mean, they really did, they had more defined roles, and again, you know, things changed in the attitude, and of course, women had to become, you know, more decisive and controlling. The workplace opened up to them, and they're caring for kids still more than men most of the time, and working, and you know, especially in today's economy, it's really hard. Both partners are working and then coming home and then caring for kids and doing household chores and managing money, and it gets really crazy, especially nowadays. It's one of the most common problems that I hear, you know, in my office when couples come in to see me. And it's really strange how, because of the economy, the relationships have even taken a more drastic shift, because now they're so focused on finances and this and that. But what I do hear that women would like men to be more in control of those decisions, not necessarily take over the money, you know, the old patriarchal, I can handle everything, but more like, please help me. How are we going to get out of this problem? How, you know, what do you think, what's going on in the world? How do you think we can financially afford this? And I do hear women sort of turning their ways about, I'm looking to him for more advice. So that's what I'm saying.
That's exactly it. I mean, it's not a matter of, you know, becoming the dictator. It's a matter of, like, going from position of, hello?
Yeah, no? I'm right here with you.
Okay. Going from position of zero, of, like, making so few decisions, to, like, at least being an equal partner on the decision-making and taking responsibility and showing leadership and dealing with the problems and challenges. you know, instead of just thinking, you know, oh, she knows better than me, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to be domineering and controlling. Mm-hmm. That's really what we're trying to aim for. Make them right. realize that they want you to decide. I mean, even simple decisions. There's so many, you know, we're talking about difficult and complex decisions. Yeah, husband and wife should work together, but so many times right. there are simple decisions, and the decision itself isn't that complicated.
Yeah.
But a decision has to be made. Like, you know, if your wife calls you and asks you, what would you like for supper, you know, spaghetti or chicken, don't just say either one. You're a great cook, because she wants you to decide. Like, make a decision. Makes her happy.
Right.
Tell her what you want.
That's true. No, that's true. I think so. It's, you know, sometimes I think, although, you know, when we women ask, I mean, and it's a common joke, you know, I think among men too. It's like my wife asks, but she already knows what she wants, right? But I think truly when women ask, they're trying to be open, and they kind of need the help in making a decision about certain things. I really agree with you.
Well, they just don't want, you know, the man to leave all the decisions to the woman.
Right.
There was a study I read recently, 43% of couples, mm-hmm. the woman makes most of the decisions, and the man is happy with it. But they didn't ask the woman if she's happy with it. It's just being participant and taking responsibility. And it's like I say, it's men today. They've gone to the other extreme. It's like they're so afraid of being accused of being controlling. They stand back and they seem oblivious, and they think, well, I'm being a nice guy. I'm being sensitive.
Yeah,
I'm not
exactly.
being controlling.
Right. Well, no, I totally get that, and I see that confusion in a lot of guys. You know, what am I supposed to do? So your book is all about kind of taking control a little bit more, again, getting back to being a strong man. And here the point is, being the strong man a woman wants, and it's telling information to folks, guys specifically, and also this is a great read for women too, because then, you know, when you communicate with your man, you can express to them that you'd like them to make more decisions. You'd like them to be a little stronger and more assertive. And I think it's really important. So I loved reading the part about lessons about how to be a stronger man for your woman. So if we could talk about those lessons a little bit. You said
well, there's three main lessons, right?
Yeah.
Showing leadership, making decisions, and taking responsibility. Now,
okay.
showing leadership isn't, like, let's say a couple's been married 10 years and, you know, the husband never makes any decisions. Suddenly he decides he's going to be a leader.
Right.
So it doesn't mean, well, I'm, you know, my wife wants things a certain way. Well, I'm going to show him the leader. We're going to do the exact opposite. I mean, that's not leadership. That's being stupid.
Right.
A leader is, you know, you have to look around, be aware of what's going on in your relationship and your family, and look for problems that need to be solved. Look for situations that need to be dealt with that are not being dealt with, and step forward, take charge, come up with a solution, and solve it.
Right.
I mean, then you'll become a hero to your wife. She won't be, she, you know, you're not going to threaten her by saying, well, you want to do it this way, we're doing it the opposite. No, that's stupid. So look for things that need to be done to become her hero.
So what
and
are some
make
of,
decisions.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Now, so what are some of the things
making,
go ahead, Elliot. I'm sorry.
I didn't hear what you said.
What are some of the things that you think come up where guys could show, you know, more leadership? I'm just kind of asking, what situations do you think would enable
well,
men
every,
to show?
Really, in every aspect of the family, I mean, there's finances, there's raising the children. Let's say, you know, the children, there's a problem with one of the children, and let's say you think, oh, she knows more, and that, you know, and she, as the mother's used to, she's trying to solve, and then, you know, nothing helps.
Right.
I mean, I was in that situation. You know, my daughter had this certain condition, and her mother took her to all these doctors and specialists, and at the end, nothing, there was no progress, and I said, this isn't right, and really nothing was happening, so I supported what she was doing,
sure.
but then they just gave up. I just felt, this isn't right. So I went to the library and I found the medical book on treating this condition.
Wow.
And I read it and found parts in it that said, well, one of the usual ways don't work. Here are some approaches that had some degree of success.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I bet this would work. I found one. It just popped out of me. And we did it and it was like an immediate improvement.
Wow.
And I really stepped forward. I said, I think to me that was a turning point. I said, hey, look, I took charge, I showed leadership, there was a problem, I found the solution, I implemented it.
Yes.
And there was more, I felt more respect because I didn't undermine what was being done before, because I agreed with it, but that's the kind of situation. Look for things that are not being dealt with. It could be, you know, even around the house. You see something that needs to be done. Don't wait for your wife to bother you and bite.
Right.
If something needs to be done, I'm going to do it. You know, just take charge. I mean, even dividing housework, I know it's a conflict area of conflict, a lot of marriages.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you say, okay, here, I'm going to do this. I mean, like, maybe organize, look at the big picture and decide, okay, you'll do this, I'll do this, this, and this. And so she doesn't have to ask you and take charge and make sure it's done.
You know, that's right. I agree with you. Household chores, by the way, are one of the top five big problems and issues that couples argue about. And they don't have to be necessarily married couples, you know, cohabitating folks. It's not about the actual tasks, but it's about the underlying meaning. Fights about chores are often about unfilled needs for respect, I think. You know, and that goes back to the male and female role. So if one partner feels that they're putting in more effort around the house, it may make them feel the other person doesn't respect them enough to help them out.
Right.
And that brings up issues of power, especially if the person, many times, who's the man who's making more money, they feel they shouldn't have to pitch in as much sometimes around the house because, I mean, they're burnt. They're spent. They're tired. They've been working. But like I said earlier, in this day's society, you know, a lot of women are working long hours too, so they're pitching in as well.
Well, I think what the man's role in that situation is to look at the whole big picture and just to, you know, maybe set a schedule of who does what when and take charge and say, you know, this is the way we can solve this problem.
Right.
I mean, that's just one example. I think then we talk about making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Making decisions is, you know, the decision that has to be made. Don't leave it to your wife. You know, there's so many simple things. If you want to take her out to eat, don't say, well, we can go to this restaurant or that restaurant. And then you leave the decision to her. And then, of course, if it doesn't work out, you can blame her.
Right, exactly.
The thing is,
exactly.
Make a decision. You say, you want to go to this restaurant? She says, I think this restaurant would be the better place to go because this food is really good. Make a decision. And you know what? You may be criticized for your decision. You may make a bad decision, but that's part of leadership.
That's right.
There's a lot of leaders, you know, political leaders who, you know, they're used to getting criticized. That's part of it. But you have to do what you think is right.
Step
and
up
you can't,
to the plate.
You can't go along with something that is wrong. Just think, well, I'll blame her. You know, when it goes bad later, I'll just blame her. You know?
Right.
And that really leads to the next lesson, is taking responsibility. You know, I've met many, divorced men who, you'll tell their wives did this, their wives did this. So the one fellow I met, his wife ran up $50,000 on the credit card.
Woo! Yeah.
And I said, I looked at him, I said, you know, people aren't going to have sympathy for you. They're going to say,
What an idiot.
You're the man. Why did you let it go on? You take responsibility. You can't just let things that you know are bad or harmful go on and then just blame your partner. That's so that I hear a lot, especially women, that, you know, he just doesn't want to take responsibility. Take responsibility.
If
it's wrong, step forward and say, this is, you know, put an end to it. If it's not good, just say no. And then if she pressures you, you know, if it's still wrong, it has to be no.
Exactly.
You know, it's not like if she pressures you and all this stuff, and then suddenly, you know, if she wants you to buy something you can't afford, suddenly if she puts all this pressure on you that suddenly you can afford it, no, you have to say no, because if you give in, it's your responsibility.
That's right.
You can't blame her. You can't blame her.
That's a really important point. And what I see a lot of times are couples who have been involved with, you know, drama and fights on an ongoing basis. And something like you just mentioned where, let's say a woman or a man, but a woman may be using the credit card and spending and spending and spending. When there's ongoing arguments and fights, I think people do sometimes get addicted to that drama. You know, they can't get out of that cycle of fighting. And then men back down, like you said, because they're tired of the arguing. And then what happens is if the behaviors continue, the woman keeps spending and spending, then the guy has an opportunity to come back and say, what the heck are you doing? And it makes more drama and it causes more problems. So, you know, nipping the problem in the bud and sitting down and agreeing and compromising on what's, you know, just using the example of the budget again, agreeing on what's going to be appropriate. What can you afford? What can we not afford? I have several couples who, you know, money's the biggie. these days. It's the big argument. But I have a couple of people who I see who come to mind right now, and one of the men are into buying a lot of toys. In other words, a giant screen TV.
Right,
saying,
right.
Surprise, look what I did. And also, he came home with a $70,000 car, drove up in the driveway. It was a surprise. She didn't want the car, actually. It wasn't what she wanted. But he said, can't you be happy for me? And so this is the this is the opposite of what you're talking about. This is like not communicating. You know, men, like you said, need to be strong, and they need to take responsibility, show leadership, and make decisions. But the big thing here is communicating those, not just passively, aggressively doing things and then saying, I decided on this, and this is what we're doing.
Right.
You're talking about healthy communication skills, and that's where the bridge between, I think, being a more emotional man, a more open and, you know, easier going person, not a controlling person. This is where the bridge takes place, is when there's communication. But the man can still show the leadership. He can still make decisions. You know.
Right, right. I mean, you know, you can still be easygoing and a nice guy, but still you have to be firm. I mean, that's really, it's not about being a dictator. It's about showing leadership. So, you know, you could be nice and friendly and easygoing, but you know, when a decision has to be made, step forward and make it. When there's with the kids, when there's inappropriate behavior, step forward and you know, put them into line. You don't have to scream and yell. Just be firm that you know there are boundaries, and so and you know in your mind what those boundaries are.
Right.
So there's no question of crossing. You know, with kids, with your partner. So it's but you have. But that's a lot of the problem with men today. They just don't seem to know. They think if they just do anything their wives want, their wives will be happy, and they can't understand. You know, it's the irony is the more you try to please them, you don't really please them at all. It's
that
really
is irony.
They want a man who takes responsibility and is keeping the family in mind, doing what's, you know, the difference between leadership and controlling. A leader thinks of what's the greater good for the family.
Right.
The controlling person is insecure and just thinking about themselves. That's
right.
Exactly.
It's more of a narcissistic way of dealing, you know, with the partnership. It's not about that. It's about, you know, taking more leadership. And like I said, and you also said, communicating and understanding, compromising, making decisions that you both can come to terms on. Sometimes we can't come to terms on certain decisions, but sometimes trust also comes into allowing someone to show leadership. I think a lot of times, specifically because we're talking about men being stronger, I think maybe do you think women could have a little more trust in men making the decisions that are, you know, come up from time to time, and taking more responsibility?
Well, absolutely. I mean, women ask me, how can I get my husband to read this book and to do it? You know, I try not to tell women, oh, you have to change, because I really think, you know, I don't want men to start saying, well, he said you have to change.
Exactly.
So, I think each person really has to look at themselves and see how they have to change themselves.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes if a man hasn't been showing any leadership and he starts showing leadership, the wife will ignore him or just, you know, criticize him or go against him. But if you're really determined you have to change, you have to just keep on and saying, you know, just keep on. Don't get discouraged.
Right.
I mean, any person who's successful knows there's always setbacks in anything you do. So to show leadership, just keep going and look for situations that need to be dealt with and deal with them. And gradually your partner will accept it and say, hey, this is good. She'll start looking up to you. It won't happen in one day.
Right, right.
It'll take time. It takes time, but don't just do it once and then, well, I tried and give up. Well,
right.
That's not enough.
Exactly. I agree. No, and it does say it's like anything that you're slowly changing over to. If things aren't going right in the relationship and women are getting frustrated with, oh, God, I got to make all these decisions, and my guy is really wonderful and touchy-feely and all that, but he's so passive sometimes. It takes time, guys, to make the changes. And ladies, it takes time for you to allow those changes to occur and roll with it. And like I said, be a little more trusting and be, you know, be aware that it takes a while to make changes sometimes. How do you tell men to reconcile? Because I know sometimes men are very direct. They're very literal. They're very black and white. And this is the way it is. How can you help guys segue from that? Well, I've been such a good guy. I've been so attentive, and I've always listened, and I've been, you know, open, and I've, you know, I've allowed her to make a lot of the decision. How do you reconcile and tell them to make that transition between, you know, it's not black or white. Turn into a stronger guy. Start making decisions. What do you tell them to make that change slowly?
Well, the interesting thing is for married guys, I decide, is it working? Is giving her everything she wants and just letting, you know, just being a... letting her make the decisions, all the decisions, is that making for a happy situation?
Right.
And not, and they can't understand why. So that's really a starting point. People are trying to improve their situations. You know, men want to make their wives happy, and they really think that letting them make the decisions, not being controlling, avoiding everything, should be making them happy. But it's not. So. And really, a lot of men just, when I talk to them about this, a lot of men will just say, you know, no one's ever told me this before. I didn't know that. And if they want to improve their marriage, they will try. They will start implementing it. It's interesting to me is when I talk to single guys who haven't been married.
Right.
They disagree with me. Oh, no, things have changed. And I said, well, you know... for them, it's frustrating. Like, they're the guys who will, like, ask a girl on a date and then ask her what she wants to do. They will have no plan of what they want to do, and they can't understand why they're not getting anywhere.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I've talked to divorced men. They said to me things like, you know, if I had understood this while I was married, I would not be divorced today. And I've had divorced women say the same thing, that their husbands had understood these basic truth, that their marriages would not have disintegrated.
I agree. I think so. No, that's, and again, you're talking about even getting information to men and women before they commit to a marriage or before they
Absolutely.
Commit to cohabitating or, you know, just being together for a long period of time until they have their whatever finances together or education together or whatever they decide to do to get married. It's so important to get these concepts before we get married and commit. And then, man, that's it. We're right in the heart of it. And we're all trying to feel out what's the right thing to do. How do we step on eggshells? And you know, how do we just be really careful about, you know, not causing problems. And I think you're right on when you say a lot of guys have kind of been conditioned to just be chilled out a little bit more and allow their women to make more decisions.
They think that they get married, they think, well, I don't really know much about being a husband. She seems to know more about this. I'll just do whatever she wants and she should be happy.
Yeah. And that is a cop-out for guys. I mean, that is a cop-out because they don't have to take as much responsibility. And it makes their lives a little easier, especially if they're working really hard and they're focused on other things. Then they don't have to deal with major decisions. And, you know, I think guys need more.
It makes their life.
Yes.
It does make their life easier. That's what they think. But ultimately, it makes for a miserable relationship. And, they think that they're making their wives happy, but they're not. And and ultimately, it's not a happy situation. They just feel like, I've seen, you know, divorces like this, but really the woman just felt she didn't have anyone. The man just wanted to do whatever his wife wanted. Yes, dear, really. And they thought, I'm a great husband. I'm making my wife happy. And ends up being divorced, and they still can't understand it. I remember when I was going through a divorce, I was invited by a men's group to a session with a family law lawyer, and I thought I could learn some things, but I thought, I'm not going to fit in. These guys are all probably domineering, controlling. I was a nice guy. My wife didn't appreciate me. So I went. They're all the nicest guys you could meet.
Yeah.
They all couldn't understand why their wives didn't appreciate them.
Interesting.
So it's a very common situation.
Yeah. So how are guys kind of generally responding? You know, guys who aren't even married and married guys, how are they responding to some of these ideas in your book?
Well, some of them, like I said, the ones that are married, some of them have said to me, thank you for saving my marriage.
Mm.
Some of them said, well, no one's ever told them this before. And they start doing it, and they do see an improvement.
Yeah.
And like I said, divorced guys say if they had heard these ideas when they were married, they wouldn't be divorced. It seems to be like it's a subject that, no one's talking about it, but this is like such a fundamental issue in so many marriages. Like, we're so pervasive with this idea in the media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at all the men on television. They're all passive. They're all letting women control them. Where's the role model of man who's not an idiot like, you know, on The Simpsons, you know, but
right.
a real man who
right.
can take charge.
Yeah, don't be a homer. That'll be your next book, Elliot. Don't be a homer. Exactly. So how are women responding to the ideas in your book?
Well, women say, how do I get him to read it? How do I get my husband to read it? The interesting thing is, I think more books are bought by women to give to their husbands
mm-hmm.
Than men buying it. And it's really amazing. At first I thought, you know, I was publicizing the book towards men,
mm-hmm.
and I really didn't get the response I expected, but I was at a conference, and I had the book at the book sale, and like, within an hour, all the women had grabbed up almost every copy.
Wow.
I think it was a two-day book sale. They were gone in an hour, and suddenly I realized, oh, this is for women. This is,
absolutely.
Women are buying this. They tell their men, this is what I want. This is what I've been trying to tell you all this time. How I want you to be.
See, there you go. There's the irony. The women are kind of controlling the guys again and saying, here's this book. You've got to read it. But, you know, a lot of times men won't pick up, you know, a lot of self-help books until they're nudged a little bit to do so. They won't do that. They won't pick up those books and learn, generally speaking, you know, they're more apt to learn how to speak more effectively or, you know, communicate, you know, ideas in business situations more effectively, not to take a look at themselves and say, whoa, especially those are some pretty heavy-duty words when you're talking to men. Stronger? Get stronger? What? You know,
well,
I think guys are a little more defensive.
I think that for men, you know, that what you're saying is true, but I think men, if they see their marriage is in a, mm-hmm. you know, the rough time, and men I know, they want, you know, I know a lot of divorced men, they didn't want to get divorced. They wanted to stay married. They believe in marriage. They wanted mm-hmm. the family to stay together. They wanted to make their wives happy. So a man who's in a difficult situation is open. He says, mm-hmm. well, how can I solve? I want to improve the situation. I mean, that's really how I felt at the time when
uh-huh.
my marriage was
yeah.
difficult. I said, I felt there's something I need to learn to improve this. I'm like, I just can't seem to find it. And that's, I think men are open that if you say, here, read this. This is
mm-hmm.
this is going to make a difference. These are the ideas that I've been trying to express to you, but he expresses them, you know, here, read them.
Yeah.
And do them, and you'll see a difference. You'll see, I know a friend of mine, he told me that he was commuting with, you know, another man to work, and they
mm-hmm.
used to read a chapter every day.
Well, that's cool.
Whoever was driving, the other person would read a chapter, and then they would discuss it. So
that's
men
awesome.
Are open. Like, you know, he's in a difficult, you know, he's in a situation where the wife is running the show, and it's really
mm-hmm.
not pleasant.
Yeah.
So he was reading it to his friend every day. They read a chapter.
That's a great idea, you guys. If you're out there commuting, you know, you got the carpool going on. The guy, everybody takes turns, and you know, you read the chapters every morning. Of course, if you live in L.A., you can read the whole book because you're stuck on the freeway for hours. Little L.A. joke there, Elliot. Now, let me ask you this, just a quickie. It seems to me like a lot of women are open to this and would like a little relief. What do you say to the women that are saying, are you telling guys to go back to being patriarchal? Are you telling guys to go back to their old style of controlling and just taking over? And, you know, that's grandpa. What's up with that? What would you say to women who would complain about that?
Well, I think there's a big difference, and I really emphasize that in the book. It's not about being controlling. It's not about being domineering. That's, you know, that the person who's controlling, domineering usually, like I said, is very insecure
mm-hmm.
and really is just thinking about themselves.
Right.
And it's not at all. I mean, men have gone the other extreme completely. They're hardly showing any leadership. They're not taking initiative. And
mm-hmm.
they seem just on the sidelines, like they're oblivious. So, you know. And then they can relate to that. They don't want that, but they want a partner who's going to show their share of leadership. That's
right.
Really, it's about sharing leadership. It's not, that's really what it is. So men have to step forward and go from 0 to 50.
Exactly.
Because the women are already doing 100, so they step
right.
forward and do 50, and then they can both do about 50, and it'll be much, the woman will look up to you, and you'll be her hero, because that's really what she wants. You put it all on her.
Right.
And so many men, they think, oh, I come home, I wash the dishes, I change the diapers, I do this, I do that.
Hmm.
And so they think, well, I'm being involved parent, but really, is more than involvement. It's more than just doing a task. I mean, what's the difference between you and the nanny in that case, right?
Yeah.
It's really a matter of, you know, what is a father's job that is different from a nanny? A father's job is showing leadership and, you know, teaching the children. Like, it's not about just doing the work. I mean, yes, there's work to be done. It's, you know, everybody's got to pitch in.
Sure.
But stepping forward and showing leadership, teaching the children about life, teaching the children the skills to you know, to how to cope in this world. It's not about just changing diapers is important, but there's more. You see, when I hear fathers say, "Well, I'm an involved father," you got to be more than involved. You got to be a leader.
Right, exactly. And also, you know, agreeing to compromise and listening and understanding. And, you know, I think you're right on, Elliot. And it's a really good read, folks, by the way. It's won Best Book Award winner at USA Books, usabooknews.com. So check it out. It's Being the Strong Man a Woman Wants, Timeless Wisdom on Being a Man by Elliot Katz, my guest. Elliot, how can folks, first of all, get the book? And
get it on Amazon.com.
Yeah.
And it's available through Barnes & Noble and Borders bookstores. And if the store you go to doesn't have it, they just tell them to order it. They can order it.
Right. It's really, like I said, it's a really easy, it's a great read. It moves quickly, and you know, there are a lot of really good lessons in there. Now, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do so if they had more questions for you?
Sure, you can email me at bethestrongman@aol.com.
That's easy. bethestrongman@aol.com. All right,
that's
folks?
It.
All right.
I'll be happy to respond to any emails.
Cool. Well, you'll get them. Get ready.
Okay,
all right,
okay.
Elliot. Thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a pleasure talking with you. What a great idea for a book.
Michelle.
All right. Have a great day.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle.
All right, Elliot.
Be
take
well.
Good care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It is a really good concept. It's a great idea for a book, folks, because, I mean, you know, I think more women get books on how to be a better woman, how to communicate. And again, you know, the percentage of women who are buying more self-help and emotional understanding and communication books, much larger than men. Women really do buy these books a lot more. So what's really cool about this, it says strong man in big bold letters. So guys, don't be afraid to pick it up too. I think a lot of women will check it out too, because like Elliot said, you know, it helps them out to learn how to be, you know, better women for their men too. You know, and again, it's not about power struggles and overcoming and all that kind of thing. So, and there, you know what Elian and I were talking about as well? There's so many issues that we have to deal with, especially in this day and age. And I think for me, when I work with couples, in keeping with the idea that men do need to become a little stronger and take leadership sometimes, it is about compromise between men and women, married couples, cohabitating couples, whatever, and men and men, whatever, like-gender couples, whatever. It's about taking responsibility on each side and agreeing about who does what. And I was just reading. I just want to share this with you. I'm talking about making major decisions. Some of the top five most common problems that come up with couples, you know what they are, right? A leading study by two magazines just said money, sex, work, kids, and as Elian and I were just discussing, housework. Yeah, those are the biggies, and it's kind of a no-brainer, but when you really think about it, these are the five main problems that lead to breakup, separation, divorce, the biggies. And I was just reading that a recent study found that more than 70% of couples talk to their partner about money at least once a week. At least. I don't know about you, but in my household, we talk about it about every day. And they fight most often about debt and unresponsible spending. So you have to communicate. What are you going to be buying? What are we going to be paying off? It's communication. It's about expressing that. Second thing most important, sex. It can be the most wonderful thing that brings a couple together. Or it can be withheld to punish or manipulate a partner, right? And with our hectic lifestyles, sex can get put off way too easily. So I always tell my couples, it's important to tell your partner what type of affection and lovemaking you'd like from them. Don't make them guess. Avoid criticizing them. I have a couple who came in to see me a long time ago. And the lady would try to tell them what she wanted when they were making love. This is what I want. This is what I want. What would you like? What would you like me to do for you? And he'd say, well, if you don't know, then you don't know me. And she'd say, no, no, I'm saying I want to get to know you. I want to make you feel better. I want to help you. What would you like? Well, if you don't know, he was playing a game with her. So I always say, don't make them guess. Don't criticize it, them. Don't put it on them. Say, this is what I'd like. Okay? Okay, the third most common argument is about work. Work! Couples need to agree or compromise on how much time each wants or needs to devote to a career and how to manage their expenses. How are they going to do that? How is it going to work for everybody? And if you have kids, whoa, oh my gosh, forget about it. Forget about it. This brings up a whole new bag of problems. So I always tell people, before you have kids, before you decide to have children, don't have children unless you agree to compromise on each other's beliefs, on discipline, how to set good role models, all the stuff that you're faced with. When you have this little human being coming into the world looking at you, you have to have all these major decisions already done. How are you going to discipline the child? What religious beliefs? This is a biggie. It's compromise, understanding, trying to come to some kind of terms. All right? Okay, the fourth problem. One of the biggies, household chores. That's another source of conflict for couples. And it's not because of the actual tasks, but it's because of their underlying meaning. You know what I mean? Fights about chores are often about unfulfilled needs for respect. So if one partner feels they're putting in more effort around the house, right? Does this sound familiar? It makes them feel that the other person doesn't respect them enough to help out. And what happens all the time is it brings up issues of power. I mean, this is the thing. The power struggles that we have. Power struggles. You got to compromise. You got to talk it out. Compromise. Nobody's always going to get their way. It's always feeling and weighing and seeing what works for the both of you. And if you don't like the idea, you've got to decide if it's a deal breaker and shut up and let that other person do and get what they need out of the relationship. That's the deal breaker stuff. That's the important stuff. All right? So compromise, listen to each other, open up, communicate. And those are all some really good ideas for helping out your relationship so you can get better. I hope it's helped you a little bit. And I want to thank my guest today again, Elliot Katz, author of Being the Strong Man a Woman Wants. Great book. Check it out on Amazon.com. And also, if you'd like to find out about me, your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle, you can find me. Yeah, I'm at DocMichelleTherapy.com. DocMichelleTherapy.com. That would be me, and you can find me, and I'd love you to listen to me, and I'd love you to, get in touch with me. Also, if you have any questions, you can find me at my website, and also my email address is DocMichelle@AOL.com. All right? I hope you have a great day, and I thank you so much for joining me. Take good care. T.J. McCormick is up next to delight you with his usual great show. Have a good one, and do take care of yourself. It's Dr. Michelle. Bye-bye.